Hello, guys. Welcome back to your Friday edition of the A-List Lowdown. I don't know the titles because they're not in the stream title, but what? It's July 18th, 2025.
It's fascist fight clubs and separatist plants.
Separatist plants, like guava plants, or
I'm not going to say. No, you know the type of plants.
Yeah, this goddamn.
What's wrong?
The National Post is being a prick.
Did you get a new keyboard after your coffee spillage everywhere? That was quite.
Oh, yeah, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
No, I mean, it was, I think, at one of our. Oh, yeah, I guess it was two shows ago, maybe.
Yeah, I was able to get a. It was way cheaper than I thought. That's when it was. It was down 25%. No. Yeah, 25% cheaper than the last keyboard I bought. And it's a little nicer. So I don't know what's going on there, but I'll take it. I'm seeing if I can get this. Oh, well, that's not an important article. Anyway. Screw it. I'm dropping it. Screw you, National Post. You could have got free publicity on the nationally recognized A-List YouTube channel, and you screwed it up. So you know what I did notice on the TikTok? Is we get called shills a lot. So
shills.
Yeah, we're some sort of shill. Sometimes we're USA shills.
Oh, well, I can see that.
Sometimes we're Russia shills. And then today we were Canada government shills.
Because wow.
Because we never replied to any comments. And I was like,
what comment?
I was like, dude, we get a ton of comments and I don't really know how to use TikTok.
Oh, in TikTok, we don't reply to the comments. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You talked about wanting to get us some social media for the show. Why don't you get the A-List?
I didn't say that. I just said Facebook for personal use and stuff, you know? Like, I'm wondering if I need to connect with some old friends through Facebook, you know?
I think that would be fine. I mean, they're tracking you on something anyway.
I'm trying to remember why else I wanted to. I was thinking, should I just, like, bite the bullet and get a Facebook account? But
yeah, it's not. Of all the social media, it makes me the least miserable.
Really? Yeah. I mean, then I could connect with some people. I guess maybe, you know what? I think it was what I was thinking about, old friends and stuff.
That's like, kind of what it comes in handy for. It's like this sort of thing where it's like when I got rid of my old phone number, I was like, yeah, because I got so many contacts and I didn't want to text everyone. It's just too much. So I texted so many people. It's like, anyone else really wants to get a hold of me, they'll track me down on Facebook.
I'm
easy to find.
That's what it was. It was somebody connected with me that said, where your old phone number's gone. Because I assumed that I'd sort of, I guess I didn't, you know, go through everybody in my phone and send my new number out. Although I still have all the text threads, but it was the virtual SIM card that kind of, you know, makes me think that everybody still has my contact, but they don't, because those threads are only with my old number. But I continue them on with my new number in the same thread, so it gets a little confusing. But that's what it was that triggered me. I was like, oh, maybe I should connect with everybody.
I think we're allowed to go live on TikTok now, but I don't know if you can do that. I think you have to go just live on that, and I'm not really interested in doing it. I mean, the problem is none of the shit anyone's watching on TikTok is the show. It's just little the bits of the show, so there's no way to really communicate with these people and just let them know, you know, that we don't care.
Yeah,
about TikTok, we're glad you're listening. Even if I did care, there's so many comments flying on there. It's too much. It'd be overwhelming. I'm glad it's not happening on YouTube or one of the other ones that I do monitor, because it's overwhelming. It's just too much.
Well, there's got to be these people now that can respond on your behalf and help you grow the channel and stuff, right? Can't you hire like a TikTok responder or something?
Do you really want to hire?
Just pay them out of the growth? Well, I mean, if you're just paying them out of the TikTok growth, I mean, if we ever got any funding out of it.
I don't even know how you would make money from TikTok. Do they just start sending you a check?
Same as Instagram, probably, that type of thing. I don't know.
I mean, lots of those videos get thousands and thousands of views.
Instagram's just a joke now, too. It's just, I almost just don't even like using Instagram anymore. It's just terrible.
Nobody asked how to pay me yet. No one was like, hey, how do you guys want to get paid? We'll see. Maybe.
Oh. Speaking of Instagram, we got somebody suggested that their sister, like, follow our Instagram account. They got that safe. I got that warning, that safe warning.
On your gram?
No, under our Gray America Instagram. It's like, you want it, these guys aren't safe to follow. Are you sure you want to follow them? They got the warning up there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I don't know. All that to say, the TikTok's its own thing, and I'm not going to reply to any comments there. If that's so, you're listening to the show, thanks for listening. And we're not going to reply to any comments anyway. That's not what this is about. We don't really give a fuck. Sorry. Check out a-list.ca if you want to support us. This is, I think, we're coming up close on episode 50, halfway through this great experiment. If we don't get 100 supporters by episode 100, we'll wrap this up. So,
does that include all the ones that we did on Outlawed before on our other show? Or just when we decided to create like this brand, like not the Canadian roundups that weren't technically A-list? Or
right now we have one supporter.
I meant the 50 episodes include all the original ones that we did on our Outlawed feed.
Oh,
all the Canadian content ones that we started with.
Mm-mm. No.
So just
it's probably more than that, but in the feed it's episode 46 or something like that. Anyway, for now it's still fun, so it's not so bad. So where do you want to start? Did you see the Rogers person going door to door?
I don't want to see it because it'll trigger me. I'm fighting with Rogers right now.
Are you fighting with Rogers?
A massive fight with Rogers right now.
Then we definitely have to watch this. You're going to love this.
Actually, I'm not. I'm ignoring it right now, actually, hoping that it's gone away.
I think this is Rogers going door to door trying to sell internet.
Okay.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I'm also fine. Thank you for asking. So nothing crazy. My name is Vita. I'm from Rogers, which is like upgraded the services in your neighborhood. So we are doing it. But I believe you guys which house, right?
I'm not sure.
So yeah. So you are a princess, right?
Right.
So you are princess because you don't pay the bills and all the things.
My
your husband. Your husband take care of all the bills or services of your room? Okay, so the thing is like, I'm from the head office. We have 20% offers going on. So whatever you are, like you are in contract, right? So we can also like put some compensate on the services because here people are complaining about the Dallas services as well as the prices because the prices are increasing after a few months. So that's why we are here to help the people to save their money as well as giving you the best services as we can. Because our internet price is just $50.
Okay.
Yeah, but with Talos, people are paying $80 to $90. So bi-directly, we save like $30 to $100 in just 1 month. And within like, there is a 2-year agreement according to the Canadian law. So we can save you a lot of money in 2 years, right? So at what time, like your husband will come at home?
I think not then.
Okay.
So anyway, it's kind of a nothing burger in my opinion.
Yeah, it was really hard to hear that. I mean, I think that the big thing that went viral was, oh, she called her a princess. Well, she's just trying to be nice to the lady because she's like, I don't know what internet we have. And she's like, oh, you're a princess. You don't pay for all your services. Like,
yeah, I think it was like a cultural thing that people took it as like an insult. But I don't get the sense she was trying to. She just doesn't get it.
She's just a salesperson trying to be nice. That's all. It was just, the regular Rogers thing. I mean, Justin Credible says in the chat, I use Rogers, but only because I got no choice. And I mean, that's the problem I had. I went to a place where they couldn't serve me. I was a Rogers customer for 25 years and I had to keep my contract for a while they couldn't provide me any service at all. And it just got into a big battle in the end. It was pretty frustrating. So it's super, super annoying that there's all this small print that says like, even though they can't provide service from where I moved to, actually, you know what it was? It was that I knew that I didn't have service where I was going. And that's why they wouldn't cancel my contract. If I would have just went there and pretended that I didn't know and tried to make it work and piggybacked off all the other networks that they do, then they would have actually like given it to me. It's just disgusting how these corporations work.
That's how they get you. Here, let's try something. This one might end the great experiment right here. Let's see how this goes.
There are calls for an investigation into a multi-million dollar federal program meant to help Canadians seriously and permanently injured by vaccines. The Vaccine Injury Support Program was created by the Liberal government during the pandemic to provide financial support to those who are hurt. But many who have turned to the program say they've been waiting for months, sometimes years, to get a response. Now, as Carolyn Jarvis reports, MPs are demanding an emergency meeting to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, right.
Ridiculous. It's a slap in the face to every Canadian taxpayer.
The vice chair of the Federal Health Committee, Dan Mazur, is asking for an investigation into the Vaccine Injury Support Program after Global News exposed allegations the program is not providing the fair and timely access to financial help it promised.
People's lives are depending on this. This is an embarrassment.
Mazur and the three other Conservative MPs on the committee are requesting an emergency meeting. Mazur says the chair, Liberal Hedy Fry, has
emergency meeting.
Fry's staff told Global News she is away and unavailable. The Public Health Agency of Canada hired a private company called Oxaro to operate the Vaccine Injury Support Program. New data shows it has paid Oxaro more than $54 million to run the program since it launched in 2021. Only a third of that, $18 million, has reached the injured. $36 million went to administrative costs.
Can you pause it for a sec before I lose my train of thought here? You know what? I was just going to actually lambaste them for not going into these details, but this might be them going into the details. But I don't like how Global News is trying to take credit for this emergency meeting. It's because of our investigation. Like, if you were doing your job 2 or 3 years ago, that we wouldn't be in this situation, you jackass.
738 people are still waiting for their claim to be processed.
They have imagine, no
hey,
clue what
just wait,
doing.
Too. Laura, hey, do you remember doctors? Me. Do you remember doctors got fired for putting in claims? Do you remember that they weren't allowed to put in claims? Do you remember how bad it was that even if doctors were ridiculed for even accepting that this was a possibility because they were all safe and effective? So how times that 1,700 by 100?
And that's just the people that they agree with.
This is infuriating.
Battling VISP for more than 3 years. She was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome following a flu vaccine, an extremely rare but documented side effect.
I thought this group would be actually, in my corner and advocating for me. Instead, I felt like I was an annoyance.
Her claim was denied. The medical board stating an infection was more likely to have caused the condition. She is appealing with the support of her doctor, who argues otherwise. Meantime, she's out more than $70,000.
So her doctor says it in the communist Canadian doctor system, and they're still like, nah, I think your doctor's wrong. I've never met you or talked to you really, but I think your doctor got this one wrong.
With no timeline for when her case may be decided.
Good.
The Guillain-Barré Syndrome Foundation says the program needs to be overhauled.
When a GBS patient finds themselves in the ICU, they need support, financial support and other supports, within days or weeks, not months or years.
I think you've forgotten that there are people at the end of this line who have been damaged.
We again asked the federal health minister, Marjorie Michel, for an interview, but her team declined, saying they're working on it, but wouldn't explain what that means. Meanwhile, Oxaro, the company which runs the program, says it has adapted to meet higher than expected volumes. As for the money.
What data? What forecast are you going with?
I mean, if you're paying out 2 to 1, into your company's pocket over what you're paying out, I'd be expanding too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a thing. It could turn predatory on looking for vaccine injured people,
right,
which would be great for us. Arguably, I'm not saying anyone got injured by anything for the fucking YouTube and TikTok police, but they're saying that. I'm just
playing. I was just going to say, hang on before you finish that. The only reason, in my opinion, why this is happening is because X is finally allowing the injured to speak up, because they were censored on Facebook. They were censored on Instagram. They were censored on X 2 years ago before Elon, and I'm not saying this is all about Elon, but something's allowing this change in narrative. Mm-hmm. And I see the injured on there all the time now on X.
Don't
they
say
finally that. Have a voice.
You don't see nothing. You don't comment. But I mean, here's the thing. None of those other Canadian YouTubers want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. They won't talk about fentanyl, stuff like that. That's why, you know, our little channel deserves some support once in a while. Like, subscribe, share. Because we don't say weird words like
Dr. Uggs.
Yeah, or street candy. They got the street candy.
There's another F word that they're saying for the fentanyl tea. I can't remember.
I don't think there's anything to finish up
here. It says its invoices are all approved by the Public Health Agency of Canada.
Oh, it's just so gross. Donna?
Carolyn.
Oh, do you want to hear that last sentence again?
No.
It says its invoices are all approved by the public. It has adapted greater than expected volumes. And as for the money, it says its invoices are all approved by the Public Health Agency of Canada.
2-1. 2-1. 2-1 to just give someone money. That's basically the program, right? You got to give them money. You got to decide, which shouldn't even be deciding. You shouldn't be deciding. You should just be listening to the doctor's note and then paying out money.
And maybe Global News, maybe you should go to the OECD and the Canada's actual data on excess deaths from 2021 to 2023. Maybe even they're still going on. I mean, maybe you should do some research on that too. If you know, we could hand you a bunch, like physically hand you a bunch of stuff to research.
Did they build a building? Do you think they built a building?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, what the 36 is a lot million dollars is a lot of money in like a year or two, isn't it? In a year, was that a year or 18 months?
No, it's probably over the whole, that's over the whole program, I think.
Yeah, which is only what, 2 years?
I think it's been 3 years, like 15 million. Wasn't it 15 million a year or something? Then it went up to 20 million a year. And
I think it didn't start till 23 though.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It's not a lot of money. That's the problem. It's not enough money at all. Even if it is not getting spent in the right way, that's nothing compared to what was being spent on big pharma and all the other stuff. It's nothing. It's peanuts.
No, it's not. Well, I know this is a problem. So you can't be stealing 2/3 of it.
Well, it's just not enough. Even if they are stealing 2/3, like it's just nothing. 50 million is nothing. They're sending billions to all these other programs all over the place.
Well, that's, yeah.
That should be here.
That doesn't mean you can't just ignore the small scale corruption just because there's bigger corruption. You got to fight all the corruption. Anyway, so here, do you want to do one? Here, I'll do one. Maybe you could go next. I got this one here. CBC brings, Soviet-style propaganda to Canada. Political scientists claim climate skeptics marked by dark triad traits and flawed paper. This is by Michelle Sterling. CBC is reporting on a new study by Poysers et al. That claims people skeptical of climate change have personality issues associated with the dark triad.
I thought that was like a new organized gang group or something.
Narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy.
Wow.
Graham, you're a psychopath. Did you know that? I guess I'm probably just a Machiavellianist. I don't even know what the fuck a Machiavellianist is. What do you think it is?
I don't know. I mean, I read the book and it was actually pretty good. You know,
let's see what the AI says. Machiavellianism is a term derived from the political philosophy of Niccolo Machiavelli.
Yeah, no kidding. But
oh, here we go. In psychology, you're gonna love this because you've read the book and it's pretty good. It's like a self-help book, right?
Well, no, not quite. I mean, some of it.
Okay, so psychological Machiavellianism. In psychology, Machiavellianism refers to a personality trait characterized by manipulativeness, emotional detachment, cynical view of human nature, and strategic long-term planning for personal gain. It is one of the traits of the dark triad of personal.
No, I even love that.
Yeah. So here we go. In modern use, in the church term pops up in corporate settings, e.g., office politics, cutthroat ambition, romantic relationships, gaslighting, and governments, propaganda, and divide and rule tactic. Anyway, do you agree with that assessment?
Not at all. So let's see what the rest of this says here then, because it's going to be interesting, I think.
In contrast, they say those who agree with catastrophic human-caused climate change narratives exhibit pro-social traits like agreeableness and honest humility. Deniers versus compliers. Hey, this is from the Western Standard. This is another case of the CBC acting as repeaters, not reporters. At no point did they interview any climate skeptics or leaders of formal skeptical organizations such as Clintel, a Dutch-based international network. In fact, I first learned about the Persis paper through Renaud de Burger, Clintel's Canadian French language ambassador. The paper itself is a curious thing, funded by a 2018 grant from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council. The authors conducted their survey in 2020, yet only now, 5 years later, do they publish their findings, attempting to paint skeptics as Machiavellian lunatics. The climate-related statements used in the survey are poorly worded. Respondents were asked to rate their agreement on a 5-point scale. Consider the first item. I am certain that climate change is happening. This statement fails to distinguish between human-caused and natural climate change. That ambiguity likely skewed responses. Ask any geologist, we have 4.5 billion years of evidence that climate change is certainly happening. The second statement reads, claims that human activities are changing the climate are exaggerated. Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, respected scientists such as Stephen Koonin, Judith Curry, Francis Gervais, Fritz Verenhold have published books, and physicists William Happer, Richard Lindzen, and W.A. van Wingarden have published peer-reviewed papers showing that climate change is largely driven by natural variation. Clintel now has 1,995 scientists and scholars signed onto its World Climate Declaration, which states there is no climate emergency, and that natural forces, especially the sun, play a far greater role than human CO2 emissions. Now we're big oil shills. Because real science is about inquiry, not compliance. Greta isn't scaring the masses anymore. More and more skeptics are starting to think for themselves. That's it. Good old Western Standard.
All right, I'll go. I like that climate one there. So this is this is about healthcare. Have you ever seen this Fraser Institute report? The cost to Canadians. Stop saying, for those in the back, we pay for healthcare. Stop saying it's free. You look retarded and boosted. A 2024 study by the
Fraser. That's exactly my numbers.
Yeah. Estimated that a single individual earning an average income would pay roughly $5,600 for public health care insurance in 2024. A family of four was estimated to pay around $17,713. So, what is that supposed to? I thought I had something a little bit.
Well, we have some Americans that listen to the show. Maybe they can let us know. How much? So 17,000 Canadian. So it's going to, let's call that like, say, 13,000 US yes. per year. Is that, would you get decent health care in the US for 13,000 bucks a year? Is that like 1,100 bucks a month or so, something like that?
Oh, so it's saying, so this is if we had health care insurance in Canada, that's what it would be. Like,
I think that's what it's costing us. That's yeah. That's what it's costing the taxpayer per family of four on average.
Yeah. So of course, Gator Gum here, throwing out vile insults to argue against a point nobody is making. Rough look. Also, you look boosted. Wow, how original, how edgy, how 2022. Read the room, dumb fuck. Everyone is saying it, but typical libtard. And unlike you, I've never caved to the government propaganda. Unlike yourself, probably one of those elbows up mental people I've seen you make no sense posts. Typical. So this is a big fight between Shelley and Gator Gum.
I guess one of the main things to think about is like if you just had to go to the doctor and pay, like, because if it wasn't set up the way it is, presumably you'd just go pay the doctor a few $100 for this or that, you know, if you had to go for an appointment, if it was kind of like the dentist. I mean, the dentist is kind of expensive, but, you know, I don't know, what would that look like? Because here's a good comparison is how much do you have to pay as your share or whatever thing for, because I think I was copay like 50% or something like that when I was working on my family dental insurance.
Yeah. For a lot of the big stuff, it's 50%. Yeah.
So it was costing me like, just for the plan, even just for the plan.
You get to a certain amount to spend every year, like $6,000, yeah, $2,000 every year. So you can max out pretty easy, pretty quick. So you can just do like your checkups and one root, like one filling or one root canal, and then you're maxed. And if you do that every, you kind of got to do that every year to keep your thing going, right?
Yeah. And you can get that for, I mean, probably like $1,200, $1,500 a year.
Yeah. So here's a note here. The average cost of health insurance in the U.S. varies significantly based on individual circumstances, but individual plans average around $9,000 annually, while family plans average $25,000. These figures represent a 6-7% increase factor such as age. So that's pretty expensive.
So are they, is that prorated? We're comparing apples to apples.
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, is 25,000 is the same currency?
No, that would be U.S.
Oh, that's 25,000 U.S.
I think that, which is quite expensive if that's the case. I thought it was more in line with what we were paying. What, like, I thought it was more in line with our share of taxes that go to healthcare, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for that much, for 40% more, you've got way better access.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop this fight here. Even free healthcare means 13-hour wait to see the doctor.
To ours where there's no access, and it's not free, so it's a 13-hour wait to see the doctor, and it costs you, you know, $5,700 of tax money.
Yeah. And well,
you have a lot more control over that, your personal health down there, I think.
Oh yeah, we don't get any results out of the system at all. We have to go outside. So I have to spend money outside of the system to get any like we just went to naturopath, spent $500. No, more than that. Actually $600, $700. So this is our healthcare system. If you have any kind of chronic condition at all, then we're spending way, way more out of our pocket. So, you know, it'd be better for us to be in the States so we can get some actually precise, specific care at a better value and a better cost, because we have to pay through the nose for it. You know, you know how much you pay here for a naturopath appointment? $375, right? For 45 minutes. Oof. Yeah. So here's Alberta. This is from Bruce Party. Don't go cap in hand again. Your leverage is an independence referendum. At this stage, anything else is begging. Now, this is a clip from Kathy Flett. Actually, I wanted to get her on the show a while back. I think she's down in Alberta, southern Alberta. She says, my 39 seconds of fame, given that this was in Edmonton, this response was not what I was expecting. There is much hope. This is at the Alberta Next. So it's been getting a lot of headlines, this Alberta Next panel, because there's been a bunch of, a bunch of people that are cheering for both sides. And it seems like both sides might have plants here, but let's see what she says. This is kind of hard audio to hear too, so let's try it out.
Hi, my name is Kathy. Alberta's grievances with Ottawa predate our becoming a province. For over 100 years, many attempts to achieve equality have been tried, all to no avail. We remember Kristen Manning's The West Wants In Reform Party couldn't do it. When Harper became prime minister and the West was in, it didn't seem to matter. So is longing for a better deal with Ottawa actually the answer? What if negotiations actually create unintended consequences, making things even worse for us? That risk is real because we don't have any friends in Ottawa. So let's just move forward with the referendum on independence, force that constitution.
I mean, that does sound pretty, that does sound like a lot of people cheering. You know, she's basically saying that, like, there's a risk at all this negotiating back and forth. So, like, just do a referendum because, you know, this has been tried over the years. Another way is if you have leaders doubtful, they will get U.S. Senator, Congress, Trump, fam, and have the U.S. say we'll recognize Alberta if they choose independence. Feds will freak out and any Fed scare tactics go out the window. Any real leaders, though, besides Bruce Party? Your leverage is in an independence referendum, right? That's the only card you've got, which is why so many anti-independence types try to dodge, weave, lecture, promise, and muddy the waters and misdirect, including the deceivers who claim to be for Alberta independence. Ottawa has nothing to offer Alberta. Those Albertans not trapped in a Stockholm syndrome-like relationship with the federal government know Ottawa has nothing to offer that would come close to freedom, values, and prosperity. So yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Man, Bruce Party is just amazing talking about all this stuff. But I'm going to go to this clip here from Jasmine Lane. She's going to talk about what the mainstream is saying. I mean, they're going to be attacking that. They're going to come after this hard, which I believe they're going to connect what Darren is going to share with us to this whole thing as well. I think later on in the show, Darren's going to share some stuff. And I bet you they're going to, this is their little weasel way in to attack the independent movement. Here's Jasmine Lane.
Last year, that's according to Retail Insider. But if you talk about the insanity, if you talk about how stupid so much of this is, well, according to this political commentator on CTV, you're just propagandized. Yeah, you totally are. And you shouldn't be taken seriously because, oh gosh, my goodness, you know, you're just a plant. You're a conservative plant.
Najib, let's pick up right there. How representative of Albertans do you expect these town halls likely to be?
Oh, very little representation. You know, I think many of the people in these, the attendees are plants and, you know, they're subjected to 30 minutes of party propaganda before the thing even starts. You know, 450 people are definitely not representative of Albertans, especially ones that have been coerced and propagandized before it even starts. You know,
imagine being coerced and propagandized for freedom, eh? Like to actually have your own independence. You know, this is just unbelievable. This is total, you know, Selinsky stuff, right? Accuse what you're doing. I mean, and then there was a bunch of people cheering for like lambasting Daniel about Alberta's pension plan and stuff. Now they trust Ottawa with the pension, but they don't trust Alberta. That sounds more like plants. But I mean, saying that there's 450 people that have been sitting there getting propagandized. I mean, these are people that want some answers, that want to look at independence.
It's interesting. My favorite part of this is actually the tagline. We were talking about this earlier that the premier keeps putting out there, a sovereign Alberta within a united Canada, you know, which makes no sense. It's like the most gobbledygook kind of slogan I've ever heard. You know, it's like, we're single but ready to mingle. You know, it's just nonsense. And, you know, this is exactly like the Trump-style politics that this party has picked up. You know, it's just like while they're distracting and dividing us with these kinds of, you know, nonsensical and, you know, not representative types of forums and performative consultation, you know, they're pushing through. They've already set up the...
It's the most least performative of any of this. It's performative as all the other side. I mean, Daniel's got actual like content and good ideas. And I'm not saying I completely trust the conservatives or Daniel or anything like that. I mean, I think it's all pretty much like I don't trust any of them. But she's the least performative out of all of them.
The provincial police force, they've allocated money for it. You know, there's always money for enforcement, no money to address the root causes of crime, you know, poverty and mental addictions and all
causes of
mental health. And addiction, all those kinds of things. They've already pushed it through, and this is, you know, Trump rule book number.
And then he's got to talk. I'm just going to end it. I can't listen to it anymore. It's just, of course, you got to blame Trump, right? It's just so disgusting, dude. What?
They want more cops, but they don't want to address the root causes of crime. I mean, this is like, what's it called? The drug thing rolling over into just the criminal code now.
What do you mean by that?
the harm reduction.
Oh, the harm reduction. Yeah.
No, it's just general harm reduction. Well, you know, he's having a tough week.
Yeah. We don't want to hold him accountable. The Canada doesn't ship what are they calling it? The F word. What's the new word that YouTube doesn't hear?
I don't know. Just call fentanyl.
Into the U.S. narrative has become a mantra. Willfully ignorant Canadians repeat to themselves like Catholics repeating scripted prayers in an effort to absolve them of their sins. You can say it on loop, but it will never make it true, at least as long as Sam Cooper is out there, because Sam says DEA bust Canadian narco whose Chinese supplier promised to ship 100 kilos of fent precursors per month from Vancouver to L.A. So that's the more of Sam Cooper's good stuff work over there, talking about this. Oh, precursors going from Vancouver to L.A. So I think that that's part of the problem as it comes to Vancouver and the port direct from Asia. And then it's easier to get it into Canada after that, right? Because probably they're probably paying more attention in America to what's showing up.
Allegedly.
I'm not going to read a bunch of these, but we could go to Sam Cooper's page here. Yeah, I don't think I want to get into the details. I just wanted to show that it's still stuff going on here, speaking of drugs and crime and all that.
Want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I saw something on crime, too. It was about a bunch of people getting released from... Oh, no, it was that bike thing in the UK that I was thinking of, too, yeah.
The couple... Is that the couple beating up? They had the like stage bike.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they put an air tag on it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, here's this one. I don't know if anyone. This is from Rebel News. Clean fuel mandate to quietly hike gas prices by 13 cents per liter. What was the carbon tax?
I mean, this is the carbon tax. 13%.
Canadians have become so used to unpredictable fuel prices, the federal government believes they won't even notice when gas quietly spikes up to 13 cents a liter under its clean fuel regulations. That's according to a May 8th briefing note obtained by Blacklock's reporter, which reveals Carney's strategy to hike costs while downplaying the impact. Given the variability in fuel prices paid at the pump, increases in fuel costs due to the clean fuel regulations may not be noticeable by most consumers, including farmers, reads the internal memo titled Clean Fuel Regulations. The plan to force a greater share of costlier ethanol and biodiesel into fuel blends while hoping market confusion masks the added burden. By 2030, the Department of Agriculture estimates the mandate will increase 6 to 13 cents per liter for gasoline and 7 to 16 cents per liter for diesel. But the Liberals insist this isn't a tax, it's just a market-based mechanism. Regulations are not a tax and are a market-based mechanism designed to spur innovation of clean technologies. So it's not a tax. It's kind of like a tax, but it's not a tax. The internal estimate tracks with a 2023 Parliamentary Budget Office analysis, which pegged the eventual increase at 17 cents per liter. That's exactly what the carbon tax was. So, but this says it was introduced in 2023. So apparently maybe we were just going to pay both of those. We're going to pay both of those. Theoretically, that's where they're headed. A separate 2024 Journal of Public Health study warned that millions of Canadians are already drowning in energy poverty, defined as households spending over 10% of their income on home heating and cooling are paying more than double the national median for energy. But Ottawa's official stance, relax, you won't notice the difference. Unless, of course, you're trying to balance a family budget, run a farm, or drive to work outside a major city. Then you'll notice. But by then, they're betting it'll be too late. I mean, my energy costs went down a fair bit without that carbon tax.
Yeah, our gas seems to be quite a bit cheaper here, too. I really did notice it because for once I was paying attention to going to the city and back was costing me $40, right? It was like, if so you go to the city, it's $40 to go to the city.
Well, I was talking like home heating and electricity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't have noticed that because Saskatchewan had stopped collecting it already.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've been my bill go down by about 30% compared to last summer. It's probably colder this summer. Even though ChatGPT is trying to complain me, convince me it's warmer. All right, I better get into this one so people know what we're talking about. So this is a CBC article. This is what our taxes are paying for, to the tune of what, $1.6 or $7 billion a year. So they can track Canada's fascist fight clubs. I mean, they call me a fascist, but I've never been invited to a fight club or nothing. CBC's visual investigations team reveals where some of Canada's white nationalists active clubs gather to prepare for violence. In public parks, gyms, and martial arts clubs where children take classes, some of Canada's most notorious white supremacists are preparing for violence. The members of these fight clubs, known in white nationalist communities as active clubs, are hiding in plain sight. As part of their recruitment and online propaganda, they post videos of their training sessions, taking care to hide their faces and obscure their locations. But a months-long CBC visual investigation in collaboration with the Fifth Estate reveals exactly where some of these groups are training. It's fucking unacceptable, said Kevin Manns, the owner of Niagara BJJ in Welland, one of the martial arts studios CBC identified. I have built a team that is pluralistic.
These pluralistic, guys, pluralistic. What?
Pluralistic.
I think you mean exclusive? I mean, inclusive? You mean inclusivity?
That's what I mean. I didn't write this.
No. What's the other word I'm thinking of for a multiple?
It says this is a term used to describe a approach that a system or approach that embraces diversity, coexistence, and multiplicity.
Oh, it is, eh? Pluralistic.
Active clubs are part of a decentralized white supremacist and neo-Nazi network that has grown globally in recent years, increasingly moving from online forums to real-world training groups and anti-immigration protests. Active clubs bill themselves as defenders of Canada's European roots, offering a path to community and fitness. But some experts regard them as the fastest growing extremist threat to Canada.
Yeah.
On the surface level, they are recruiting people that are interested in getting in shape and learning martial arts, said Mac Lamorella at the Institute of Strategic Dialogue. This sounds like we're a consultant that we're paying.
Sounds like a secret society, right?
UK-based think tank. dedicated to studying authoritarianism, hate, and extremism. Authoritarianism. Maybe you fucking look in the mirror, buddy. The minute you peel back even the slightest layer of this onion, it becomes far more insidious. These are virulent white supremacists. These are people that in many cases are training for what they believe is the upcoming race war. There are 187 clubs in 27 countries, according to the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism, with several in Canada.
Wow, how many organized crime groups did they say was in Canada? That official
4,000.
4,000, right? And there's 187 of these clubs in 27 countries.
The RCMP says 4,000. Too many for them to deal with.
Way to focus your resources, CBC.
One of the most.
You don't think it's got anything to do with the way things have been going in the last couple of years after COVID and immigration? What did you think was going to happen when you act like that?
White nationalism's evolution. Canadian active clubs have very, very deep connections with other far right and extremist organizations, said Lamoureux. I thought they were decentralized. These include groups like the Canadian Proud Boys and the notorious Adam Waffen Division, which has been linked to 5 killings in recent years. Both groups were listed as terrorist organizations by Public Safety Canada in 2021. In a 2023 terrorism investigation, the RCMP arrested 2 Ontario men for their roles in creating recruiting videos for Adam Waffen. The The RCMP concluded many former Adam Waffen division members joined Active Club Canada. Active Club Canada, which the RCMP, quote, observed performing combat training exercises in local community parks, is now defunct. But it was a precursor to current active clubs like Nationalist 13. Private gyms. CBC spent months collecting and analyzing clues in social media posts to locate and identify the exact parks and gyms where members of Nationalist 13, known as NS13 and Second Sons, trained, and confirmed them by visiting locations in person. CBC discovered these groups were often training in gyms or martial arts studios that also cater to children and diverse clientele. CBC's visual investigations team used resources such as DarkSide and OSINT Industries' searchable databases that include information pulled from the open web and past data breaches to help identify and locate various Active Club and Second Sons members. Is that legal?
Yeah, I think they said it's open source.
Past data breaches would presumably be like when your password is lost in a data breach.
Oh, yeah, interesting, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Members of NS13 and Second Sons have attempted to keep the images online anonymously by blurring or obscuring their faces. CBC did not edit any images to hide the identities of group members. Take this one, for example.
They didn't hide, they didn't edit it. they didn't put the skeletons over their faces? Come on.
They must have done it. I think they're saying that they did it.
No. They're saying that they normally just blur out the faces a tiny bit. And I think what they did is they put these things over top them. So they're saying that they're trying to say like, oh, we didn't do this edit to hide their faces, but they just put something over top the original edit. So it's pretty shitty way to describe it.
So you see this picture of this boxer here?
Oh, yeah. It's just they go through it so weird. They go through all these fitness places and parks, and they're trying to identify, oh, this is the park in the picture, the social media. We know who this guy is. Oh,
CBCT located that exact same boxing glove on the wall of the local branch.
Good job, CBC.
Another example. There's a window.
Way to go.
Nationalist 13. The point can be seen in other NS13 images with the same tattoos. Photos also show them with the same tattoo and shorts. The point did not respond to CBC's request for comment. When CBC visited the gym, John Moran, the manager at Amazing Fitness, said he didn't know this was happening. He said in a statement afterward that we have no affiliation whatsoever with these individuals or their ideology. We categorically reject any form of hate or discrimination. CBC also identified two Brazilian jiu-jitsu gyms in southern Ontario used by the Second Sons. I'm not going to go through all that. I don't think we need to go through any of that either. I don't know. I don't know if we need to go through any more of this, honestly, because this is all just them sort of defaming people that I'm not interested in doing.
Yeah. It's just, I'm telling you what they're going to set it up. And they're going to try and link Alberta to it, the Alberta separatists to it. And they're going to try and, you know, say that the whole separatist movement is a white supremacy movement or something like that. It's a whole thing where they've identified parks where they're training and all this, this really good journalism. Way to go, CBC. Way to find out who those members with blurred faces are from the social media and the actual locations. Good job.
Months long. What do you think it costs them?
And these people are getting in shape and they're actually like doing something with their life and they're not happy with immigration. No shit, Sherlock. Who is happy right now? I mean, at least these people are doing something.
Not an endorsement. The immigrants. They might be happy. Some of them, some not so much.
Clyde do something says, let's just see what he says about this before we, because he shared, this is going around, of course, on X. The thing that probably bugs me the most about CBC is that because they are so awful and deceptive with their narrative-driving propaganda, when someone actually writes a quality piece of journalism, it will go unnoticed. I don't think is he saying that's a quality piece of journalism? CBC never wrote quality. Maybe back in the 70s, you get to after they you do get there after anything white. And I, no, I don't agree with the people in the article. Yes, I have been very racist against, they have been very racist against white people, Clyde says. And yes, they're showcasing actual people who say and do some really actual racist things who claim to be white national socialists. Both of these things can be true. Unfortunately, so many people are not going to read the substance of the article because of the fact that CBC has been crying racist wolf for more than a decade now. People are just going to dismiss this real movement that is growing in Canada. I don't know, Clyde. They're numerically, so Clyde's getting into some arguments here. They're numerically insignificant. These clowns exist. Half their members are probably informants and feds. The story about is more about the CBC trying to hype up a right-wing boogeyman. See, that's what I was exactly saying. Why don't they ever do similar exposés on the hard left? The group is bigger than you think and is growing, Clyde says. They have been pretty clever in using the tactic that they've learned from Antifa. What tactic? They hide their faces? Come on. They don't, I mean, they did go, that one protest they did mask up, which is pretty gross to me. Like, that's where I wish we wouldn't have to, you know, put masks on it. We shouldn't really be able to do that, I don't think. You shouldn't be able to protest with masks or do crimes or hang around in cities with masks. I just don't like that.
I seen someone jogging today in the city with a mask on. Actually, it was in Chestermere. Jogging with a mask on outside. All right, let's jump over to this one. Maybe this is what has some of these guys fired up. Police release images of suspect in deadly stabbing of 7-year-old woman in North Dirk. So this isn't just some lady, Brian Grocery, just got stabbed for no reason. What do they call it? A
random crime or something?
Random
act of violence or?
Care to make any predictions on the perp?
No.
Better not. You better not, honky. I bet you it's New Canadian.
Police have identified the victim of a deadly unprovoked stabbing in North York, and they've also released images of the suspect tonight. 71-year-old Shanaz Pastanji.
No guesses?
No, I'm not going to guess.
Of Toronto was attacked while loading groceries into her car at a plaza on Parkway Forest Drive, which is near Shepherd and the Don Mills this morning. Pastanji was found with stab wounds near her vehicle and she was rushed to hospital where she died. Meanwhile, this is the suspect police are looking for. He's described as a male, black, approximately 5'7" to 5'10", wearing all dark clothing and a balaclava.
We do not have any information to suggest there's an ongoing threat to.
You know, they were like, we got to send a black cop out. We need a. Who's our most senior black guy? I mean, at least this time they remember the last time they did the whole description without mentioning the race of the raper?
Yeah.
Public safety at this time. However, we do encourage you to be aware of your surroundings. We are treating these investigations with the utmost of seriousness.
Unprovoked stabbing, but don't worry. It's not a big deal.
I'm telling you, this whole immigration thing is causing a bunch of racism, right? I mean, what do you think is going to happen? And all the people that came here before that sort of
grandma, you're fucking pissed.
What?
If that's your grandma, you're pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but now there's all this focus on this, right? So now all the people that came here and assimilated are going to be treated unfairly, and it's going to cause a huge rift. And they knew it was going to cause a rift. Of course they knew it was going to cause a rift, and now it's happening. And it's happening in the UK, it's happening in Spain, it's happening all over the West. And how do you stop it from happening? What? And you know what it is? It's the two-tier system where they don't want to be hard on criminals anymore. It just happens to be, especially criminals that aren't from the country where it happens. So it's a two-tiered system that's going to cause a huge backlash. I mean, we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. This is going to get way, way worse. And I'm not trying to like fearmonger or project or anything like that, but it's just starting to ramp up. Did you hear that guy got let off because he raped this young girl and because he didn't know like it was legal or illegal or whatever. Like there's some sort of like, you know, sympathy for the criminal because he doesn't know the law. Why are we letting people in that don't know our laws? Why are we allowing it to happen at this level? Like you used to have to come in and be vetted in a bunch of different ways. I'm not saying we need to be tracking people either, but there used to be a system of immigration.
Yeah. But to be fair, we don't know that this fellow is an immigrant. But
no, but that's this is my point. It proves my point. Look at what's happening now, right? Now it's now that is getting blamed for these crimes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
This, again, this was appears to be an unprovoked attack, and so it's being treated with the utmost seriousness. And we have many resources from across the city at the scene trying to gather evidence and locate witnesses to figure out what occurred.
I was just coming here to buy some stuff for my friend, and to see all of this, I was actually freaked out. I was thinking of not coming here, but then I was like, okay, I'll just go see what's going on. Because my mom lives here, we have two pet dogs, and we walk them every day. And yeah, I mean, hearing this kind of stuff and seeing people get stabbed and
oh, don't worry, it's his buddy says don't worry, it's fine.
If it's just say a random act of violence.
I mean, it just, you know, just roll the dice, lady, you'll be fine.
Living in the area is just a tad bit scary.
So once again, these are the images of the suspect that police.
Just let us pack our guns and this problem will go away quickly.
Dude, did you hear what they said about the break-ins that were happening? There's a 54% break-in increase in Ontario. Can you take that off the screen?
Yeah, this is about done screen. Anyway, I think.
Yeah. There was a 54% increase. I thought I clipped this, but I guess I didn't. In this Ontario suburb of break-ins, home break-ins, and there was an interview. And actually, I think it was... I can't remember the media company now. It wasn't the mainstream that was reporting it, but you know what the guy said to do? What his solution was? Like if somebody, they're talking about like if somebody breaks into your house, what are you supposed to do about it, right? What do you think the solution was?
Shoot them.
No. Are you kidding, dude? Get a dog. Get a couple dogs. Like just, that's what you're supposed to do now. Just buy a couple dogs to help protect your property. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. Because he's saying like, it has to be like, Your reaction has to be what do they call it? Comparative to the force. Like it has to be on the same level, you know, like you can't fight back too hard. You know, you can't shoot back if they've only got a knife. That's just out of control, right?
Runkle says you can.
Well, we should talk to Runkle about
it. We should really talk to Runkle. That'd be a really good show.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to him. Let them know it's the A-list. It's not going to get too crazy. It's just about Canada stuff. It's not Great America. I mean, I think he agrees with us on a bunch of stuff, but I don't think he would ever say so publicly. But I was listening to a whole thing where he was talking about basically if someone breaks into your house with the intent to do violence, he's like, if they have a bat, you don't have to get a bat. You just fucking shoot that motherfucker. Use your shotgun, not your handgun.
Okay, so maybe that's the key. If they have a weapon in their hand, then I get that might be the thing that. So I was wrong.
Not legal advice.
What?
Not legal advice.
Yeah, not. But I was wrong when I said stabby versus pew pew. Like, really, it's when you're if somebody just came in and you don't know what they're gonna do, you can't just use.
You can't just shoot them.
Yeah.
Not to say I can't, you know, pump my shotgun. And be like, turn around, go back the way you came in, boy.
load your sling or your bow.
To me, the more interesting thing is the precedent being set that someone could shoot someone with a handgun in self-defense and get off, even though they're not even supposed to be carrying that fucking handgun.
Right.
Yeah. So there's now a court precedent that it's okay to shoot someone with a restricted weapon that you're not supposed to have out of the house if you're under violence. So that would, to me, would indicate that in my home, I should have no trouble at all. Okay, I only have one more left. Do you have anything?
Well, I do have something from Jay Gen Xer. I don't know if you saw that long list of the legacy of Trudeau, Carney, and the NDP Liberals. And I don't even think he's
that, because this can just be skipped. It's not.
Well, no, this is really long. So I'm wondering if,
if you save that then, and I'll do this.
Do you want to do? Because maybe we should just read that out as a segment. We should read his thing out as a segment.
Yeah, so we'll do it on Tuesday.
Let's tease it. Let's tease it here now. This is like Jay Gen X. He put together this huge list of all the bills, what they're like, you know, automatic bail for violent offenders, this type of stuff, and then all these scandals, all the scandals and all the wasted money. I mean, it's like very, very long. And I was thinking we should literally just read that all out so we have it on audio.
Yeah, and go and like pull up some the articles.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's way too long. So I'll just do this quick and we'll get out of here then. This is, so we were talking about solving the problem. Thousands of Canadians to start receiving invitations to apply to sponsor parents and grandparents. Sponsor them for what, do you think? To run in a marathon? Thousands of Canadians will soon receive invitations to apply to sponsor their parents and grandparents as permanent residents. The 2025 intake will open up for a few weeks starting July 18th for 17,860 potential sponsors who submitted an interest sponsor form in 2020, according to Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada. In a notice published online Wednesday, IRCC said its goal is to accept up to 10,000 complete applications under the Federal Parents and Grandparents Program. So if you receive an invitation to apply in the 2025 intake, you can submit your applications online through the permanent residence portal. While the federal government is reducing the number of temporary and permanent residents who will be allowed in the country, family reunification makes up 22% of all permanent resident admissions, according to the IRCC. So I don't know. More immigrants, I guess.
It doesn't seem like a big quantity, really. I mean, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to what's going on. Well, let's end with what the White House press secretary has to say about Canada.
Oh, boy.
Last month, the Canadian Prime Minister said the president had agreed to a July 21st deadline to sort of work towards a trade agreement. That's 4 days from now. Could there be a trade agreement with Canada in 4 days?
Well, look, we'll see. The trade team continues to be very active in our conversations and discussions with Canada, the president himself has said. Unfortunately, our neighbors to the north have been pretty difficult to deal with when it comes to matters on trade. But in trade, generally speaking, as you know, 25 countries have received letters thus far from the president directly with his big, beautiful signature on them, from Japan to Korea, South Africa, Kazakhstan, Malaysia, just a few countries, and Canada also received a letter for 35%. With that said, if countries want to have legitimate further discussions, the Trump administration and the president's trade team are willing to have further talks. But these letters these countries have been receiving are the deals. And as the president has said, those deals will be made. They are tailor-made to each and every country based on the United States' concerns and what's in the best interest of the American worker and the American people.
We're difficult to deal with up here. Yeah. We're just fighting back. Elbows are a little too high.
The elbows are up, baby. All right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed our little A-list lowdown here for July 18th, 2025. a-list.ca if you want to support us or listen to us in podcast form. You also be a member of the YouTube channel, I think, or do super chats or whatever you do there. But support us somehow, or we will go away eventually if we don't get support. But for now, we're happy to keep doing it. Check out grimamerica.ca for the podcast if you like podcasts. grimamericaoutlaw.ca if you like conspiracy podcasts and controversial podcasts. Contact at thecabin.com for trips and events, adultbrain.ca for all of our audiobooks, over 150, and ebooks and paperbacks, some of the best books of all time, really, especially in esoteric and stuff like that. And what am I missing? Oh, yeah, bigskytallow.ca for tallow, especially if you're in Canada. Can't sell the CBD stuff here because Canada doesn't allow it. But if you're in the States,
you can try. Is that a tariff thing or a safety thing?
I think that's a safety thing, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Exactly. To be fair, I don't think you can do the CBD either direction.
Okay.
So check all that out. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become, your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.